can do without after ball breakfast in the mornings.
Good morning, lads. How are you, Jeremy?
They're fun. They get on well.
You start the day with a good energy.
I love watching.
It's brilliant. Huge fan, yeah.
Listen to Off the Ball Breakfast live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Highly recommend it.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Optimum Nutrition, proud sponsor of the Gaelic Players Association.
We're going back to the Republic of Ireland's game tonight. Delighted to say Rachel O'Sullivan of Girls on the Ball is with us. Rachel, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you. How are you?
We've been talking a little bit about the importance of the game tonight from Ireland's perspective. Notwithstanding the fact that France have already qualified, they are also preparing for the Olympic Games, which is a home Olympic Games, which means that whoever gets selected tonight, if they're not first choice at the moment, they're not going to be phoning it in either.
Yeah, I'm trying to hope they'll take a bit of a laissez-faire attitude given all the other things they have to contend with, but I'm not sure that's the case, especially with the depth in that squad, you know. So even if they aren't starting their absolute best 11, you know, it's going to be a tough one for Ireland either way.
What would be realistic from Ireland's perspective tonight, even if it is a laissez-faire French team, is a narrow defeat going to be something that ultimately we look back on and go, Ireland have come out of this group and managed to get a reasonable playoff opponent, and that's about the best we could have hoped for given the quality of teams that we're up against?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, and we said this from the start, you know, in an ideal world, it'd be great to pick up a point, but you're in the toughest group of these qualifiers and they've got the toughest team to play last, which isn't ideal. They've already qualified. Yeah, I'd say a narrow defeat, if we could snatch another goal, that'd be lovely. But I think keeping the scoreline down will be the ideal scenario, which I know sounds terribly defeatist, but I think it's a bit realistic.
What's your general sense, Rachel, of how confident Ireland fans can be about the playoff path that is inevitably coming, where Ireland are going to win their first game of playoffs against a League C team? It would be astonishing if they didn't, and then play a League B team. It does feel that while the group that they've been presented with now is unfortunate in the context of League A, was the group that they had in League B quite fortunate? Because you look at the likes of Wales and Scotland potentially being opponents, and I do wonder if they are cut above the League B teams that the Republic of Ireland played in the previous Nations League campaign.
To a degree, yeah, it was probably slightly fortunate with the group B group that they got. But I think Wales and Scotland at times have struggled to perform when you expect them to win games. And I think when the pressure's on, Scotland have experience in qualifying for major tournaments before, but you know, when the pressure's on, I think should they face either of those teams, I'd still be back in Ireland. I wouldn't be going in kind of, yeah, I'd be nervous, but I wouldn't be thinking, you know, we're definitely going to lose this game. So I think, yeah, if they get the path of, they will get a Group C team, if they can get a Group B team, I think confidence for the fans, the team are going to be confident. And I think fans can take confidence in that. And I think something that they'll take out of this group stage they've played despite the results is the confidence that they can come and be on this big stage. And these teams are not shirking them. They're not looking at Ireland and thinking, we've got to win. This is going to be easy. I think they've come and shown what they can do against the big teams. So it will give them a lot of confidence going into the playoff, and ultimately that should give the fans confidence.
We might just try and re-establish the connection there. The sound isn't great at the moment, Rachel, so we'll just give you a buzz back on a different line to try and improve it there. I think that's really the point here, isn't it? How confident the team are going to be in the aftermath of losing these games. Like, they're all clearly some of the most competitive people who've ever played their sport in Ireland. And so therefore, they don't see the fact that they've lost these games. They see the fact that they're in the games.
Yeah, and also they'll be back playing club football before the playoffs actually take place in October and then November, December for the second round of playoffs. So the draw is going to take place on Friday. And no matter what happens tonight, the first round is going to be against a League C team. And then, as we mentioned before, that 4-goal cushion that Ireland have against Iceland is going to be key for the second round. Basically gives them a 1-in-6 chance of playing a League A team as opposed to a guaranteed League A team. So that's the difference. That's what's on the line here. It's very, very stark. But I don't think against Iceland tonight that the four-goal turnaround is actually going to be achieved by Poland. But I guess France could come to Cork and put on an absolute masterclass as well with players fighting for spots in the Olympic team and all that. That's possibly the dangerous one.
The thing to do is to get a point, or, you know, have a famous victory against the side who are phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah.
And take it out of any period of doubt. We were just speculating there about the difference in mindset that these full-time professional competitive athletes have versus us who are looking at the results going, oh, that must be terrible, to defeat after defeat after defeat. But Owen makes the other point as well that they'll all go back to their clubs, and so they will have an opportunity against a team to get some confidence in the first round of playoffs, and that's what's most important. So in the aftermath of the England game, for example, listening to the audio, they're all delighted because they'd scored late and they knew that that was going to have a significant impact on what happens next. For us outside the group, it's like, oh, Jesus, you know, it's another defeat. But it's a very fine balancing act that they've managed to get right, it seems, inside the group.
Yeah, there's a lot of context around this. I mean, yeah, you can just look at the results and think, God, this is awful, we've lost everything. But, you know, as I said, we talked about this in the beginning. You know, we said if we could make a draw here or there, we'd feel like we were doing well in this group. We knew what we were coming into. We know the caliber of teams are up against. And I think a lot of the results have been pretty close as well, which I think is another kind of bit of confidence they can take. You look at that Sweden game, I thought they were terribly unlucky not to get a point out of that game. So I think from the players' perspective, they know how they performed. They know how they've played on the big stage. They're not going to feel, I don't think they're going to feel defeatist. I think they're very realistic about how they're going into this group and what we get out of it. I think they've got a huge amount of experience out of it, especially the younger players. And that's something I've been really impressed with watching them play, less so the first half of the game against England, if I'm totally honest, but where younger players have really stepped up and played with some real confidence and maturity, which is what I think they need going into those games where they're expected to win.
At this stage, what kind of a job do you think Eileen Gleeson is doing?
It's a tough job, I'm not going to lie. I think I've been really impressed with the confidence that's been instilled in the team and the camaraderie around the team. I've spoken to a few players about that, especially players who recently come into the team. I've spoken about how I've never been in an environment like it in terms of that feeling, that team feeling, and that specialness within that group. And I think that's something that's going to be fostered from the top down. I would like to feel like at the end of this group, we'd have a clearer idea of the starting 11, the style of play Ireland want to play. I think I'm maybe not 100% sure on that at the moment, which, you know, we weren't probably going to win these games. So it was an opportunity to try and find that and come out of that and say, you know who our best 11 are. We know the style of football we want to play. And I'm not sure we fully grasped that from Group A. But like I said, it was always going to be a very difficult job for her coming into that group. And I've been pretty impressed with how they've played.
That's the biggest debate in world football at the moment, isn't it? Are you a manager who decides that I'm the one who knocks and this is the side of play that we're going to have? Or are you in the Carlo Ancelotti school who's like, look, you know, whatever. You tell me how you want to play football, grand. But actually, what I want to do is build a team that's flexible enough if we are coming up against two inverted wingers where I can actually play a right-sided defender on the left side and everybody's like, oh, there's no balance in the team. Yeah, of course, because we're going to kick their inside forward early and often and make sure that they don't have any impact on the game. Like, and maybe Eileen Gleeson is in that second school, but who knows? Or maybe she doesn't know what she's doing at this point because it's too early in her career. I guess that's all up for grabs, right?
Yeah, and like it's tough to be trying to find that type of flexibility when you've got a team that you're still trying to get to be able to play that intense level for 90 minutes. And that's something she's spoken about, that she doesn't feel like I'm quite there yet to be able to play the best style they want to play for 90 minutes. So I think you need to get there first before you can start saying, we're going to be flexible here, we're going to be able to play all these different types of formation with confidence for 90 minutes. So like I said, tough job on her hands, but I've been pretty impressed so far.
And maybe there is no best 11 is the other side of that. When you're a team who isn't going to be a team that dominates possession against the top tier nations, that the whole notion of a best 11 is actually slightly anachronistic now.
Yeah, I think as well, when some of your kind of the players you lean on can be quite flexible themselves and versatile a little bit, and they can offer you different things in key matches. You can factor that in as well. Like maybe if a match falls where you play Katie McKay fire, or you put Denise O'Sullivan in the 10, like you've got that variety from your best players.
So it can be, I guess, trickier to find your best 11, but that, needless to say, I was surprised by the starting 11, for example, against England. And you then have to factor in things like, well, were they really going out there to try and get points, or were they going out there for damage limitation? And there's so many other factors she has to contend with when she's picking her best 11, I guess.
The Katie McCabe speculation is all over the newspapers today about a potential move to Lyon. What's your understanding about the potential for that to happen?
I'd be extremely surprised. Stranger things have happened, but she does feel like an Arsenal player through and through. She's key, extremely key to that team. You know, I think she's started playing some of her best football at Arsenal and has been player of the season for them in the past. So yeah, I'd be surprised, but you know, the lure of guaranteed Champions League and winners is always going to be there. But I'd be surprised. But yeah, like I said, stranger rumours have become true in the past. So we shall see.
Okay, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
I'm hoping for a narrow loss, but I'd love to see another goal for Ireland.
Delighted to have been there, to have got to see their first goal and against England, no less. So yeah, let's hope for... If we get a draw, amazing. But if it's a narrow defeat with a goal, I'll be happy.
All right. Good stuff, Rachel. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
It's Rachel Sullivan there from Girls on the Ball. And apologies about the quality of the audio.
Off the Ball. Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. Proud sponsor of the Gaelic Players Association.